Good morning. You're listening to the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I am Tom Yoder. Remembered today as an early cartographer and prolific religious artist, Don Bernardo de Miera y Pacheco is probably best known for the map he produced of the American Southwest during his five-month ordeal as a cartographer on the Dominguez Escalante expedition of 1776. A true Renaissance man, Miera y Pacheco was also known to be proficient in astronomy, geology, military tactics, metallurgy, painting, and sculpture, and actually much, much more. Joining me this morning by phone is John Kessel. He's the author of the book Miera y Pacheco, a Renaissance Spaniard in 18th Century New Mexico. John will be giving a presentation about Miera y Pacheco on Saturday, April 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Crow Canyon Archaeological Center in Cortez as part of the first birthday celebration for the Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. And also joining me here in the studio this morning is Dale Davidson. He's a retired archaeologist who is also a board member at the Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. John, let's start with you. Why did you decide to write a biography about Miera y Pacheco?
Well, it came about in a rather remarkable way because I was amazed not too long ago, a couple of years ago, to find in the archives at the University of New Mexico a proposal I had made for a biography, a life and time study of Miera y Pacheco as a U.S. bicentennial back in 76, a bicentennial project. And I even had thought, maybe I could pair him, do parallel lives approach with him, and then perhaps a British officer in the Atlantic colonies. Would have been a great project, but it went nowhere. I had an interest in the back of my mind. The guy is so remarkable. I mean, and there had been not even a preliminary biography of him. Then, a couple of years ago, someone asked me via a secondhand email, when does Chaco Canyon first appear on a Spanish map? And I thought, well, let's see what Don Bernardo did. In his 1758 map of New Mexico, he covers the very lightly the Provincia de Navajo, but Chaco's not on there. On the map he drew of the Dominguez Escalante expedition, Chaco shows, and it's right about where Chaco Canyon should be. Well, I got looking at that map, and I just got drawn into it. I ended up transcribing every word on that map, and boy, there are a lot of words on that map. And that just kind of sucked me in. Who was this guy? So that's really the way I got started. I had not intended to do a biography of Don Bernardo, but I am so glad I did.
Well, as I was looking at some of the notes to prepare for this interview, I was really blown away by this guy. I mean, he was practically an expert in just about every field of science and arts that you can imagine at that time. Can you give us just kind of a brief, I know we could probably spend an hour talking about this guy's life, of course. Give us a brief outline of his life and what he was doing here in the American Southwest.
Well, here you have a well-born 18th century European Spaniard who just by time and chance became the quintessential Hispanic New Mexican. And it started in the mountains of northern Spain in 1713. He was born in a small village on the Cantabrian coast of northern Spain. If we didn't have his baptismal register and his marriage 28 years later, in the godforsaken desert of Janos, Chihuahua, we wouldn't have much on the man. It is astounding. We have no idea. He seems to have been the only son of his prosperous father. We don't know why, as el primogénito, he left Spain, with whom, on what ship, when. Or, even more important, where did he get his training in mathematics, in cartography, in art? We have no idea. So that makes the first chapter of my book rather thin. Nevertheless, once he is married in Janos in the desert in Chihuahua in 1741, we can track him pretty closely. His first son is born in Chihuahua in 1742. The next year he moves to El Paso. He's in El Paso for a dozen rather unhappy years. He struggles at everything from silver mining to dry goods to stay afloat, has two more children, and then finally is thrown in the El Paso jail, only for 10 days, but as a debtor. Well, fortunately, while he's deep in despair and in jail, why, his luck changes. Turns out the viceroy in Mexico City needs maps, much more accurate maps, of the northern frontier provinces. Suddenly, the governor, the new governor of New Mexico, needs a cartographer on staff. Hence, Miera's debts evaporate, and he moves the family to Santa Fe. Then we can track him from that time, the mid-1750s, for 30 more years, till his death in Santa Fe in 1785. We have him rather well documented, and it is true. He becomes a New Mexican in so many ways. First thing he does is he marries a local girl. That makes him cousin to at least half the colony. Then he does what they do. He rides on military campaigns. He farms, he ranches, and he raises a family. Well, in addition to that, he draws maps that for the first time give real dimension to this colony, not only for Hispanos, but for the native peoples as well. And at the same time, he is sculpting and painting his neighbor's favored saints, you know, and that sort of giving an enrichment to the devotional lives of the Hispanos. So he is a remarkable guy. He certainly left his mark in New Mexico.
You know, I wanted to ask you a little bit. His artwork is pretty fairly well known. Is there a place where you can go and see his art today? Because I understand he was quite a gifted wood carver. And did any of those objects survive, and anything we can go look at down in the Santa Fe area or anything today?
It's very true indeed. Some of his works do survive, including his masterwork. He did prefer, I think, to carve in wood, but he also could carve stone. And the most lasting religious icon of the colonial period is on display in the Cristo Rey Church in Santa Fe, at the end of Canyon Road up there, that great big church. The altar screen, some 19 feet wide by 25 feet tall, it's a real gallery of saints that he carved in bas-relief in some very easy to carve, soft stone, a tufa that was mined just north of Santa Fe and brought down in big blocks to Santa Fe. And he first installed this altar screen in a military chapel that existed in his day, was built in his day, across from the governor's palace on the south side of the Santa Fe Plaza. It was falling to pieces in the middle 19th century in the 1850s, and someone had the sense to disassemble Bernardo's altar screen and save it. And it was reassembled behind the main altar in what has become the cathedral in Santa Fe. So nobody could see it. It was just back there.
Wow.
And one of the reasons John Gaumin built that massive adobe church out at the end of Canyon Road was indeed to display once again Miera's masterwork, which is dated 1761.
Wow. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is the Monday Morning Zine. This is KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with John Kessel. He's the author of the book Miera y Pacheco, a Renaissance Spaniard in 18th Century New Mexico. And we're talking about the man this morning. Also joining me this morning is Dale Davidson. He is a board member with the Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. They'll be sponsoring a presentation by John on Saturday, April 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Crow Canyon Archaeological Center in Cortez as part of the first birthday celebration for Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us. We are back. This is the Monday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. My guests this morning on the show are John Kessel. He's the author of the book Miera y Pacheco, a Renaissance Spaniard in 18th Century New Mexico. Also joining me in the studio is Dale Davidson. He's a retired archaeologist who's on the board at the Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. John, I wanted to ask you, how did Bernardo Miera y Pacheco, how did he get involved with the Dominguez Escalante expedition?
We talked a little bit earlier of his wood carving. Miera, all through his life, accepted commissions for artwork, mostly from New Mexico's Franciscans. When Fray Silvestre Vélez de Escalante, young and green, arrived in New Mexico in the mid-1770s, he wanted a carved and painted wooden altar screen for the mission at Zuni, New Mexico's Siberia. He'd been assigned out there. And he got in touch with Miera. They find that they are both from just a few miles apart in Cantabria in Spain. And as Miera works on this altar screen out at Zuni, Escalante pesters him with questions, because Father Escalante's superiors in Mexico City had laid a burden on him and said, see what you can find out about a possible overland route between Santa Fe and the fledgling port of Monterey in Alta California. At this time, the Spanish defensive strategists were trying to link the northern provinces east-west. And so that was a big question that this young friar brought. And there was no one in New Mexico who knew more about the cultural and the physical geography of New Mexico than Miera, and no one less than Vélez de Escalante. So they got together. Father Escalante went out to Hopi, had a nasty experience there, also learned that the country beyond the Hopi was extremely forbidding. Hence, he decided that the only way would be to go up through the Utes and head out that way. He thought maybe a party could get through. He didn't have great hopes. But at any rate, when his rather stern and no-nonsense superior, Francisco Atanasio Dominguez, arrived and they had conversations, the Dominguez Escalante expedition was born. And it was a totally amateur effort. The governor had his hands full with the Comanches, who had just about stripped New Mexico of horses. So no formal military expedition was mounted. And so off these two friars go with 10 other guys, Miero one of them, and start out on what has to be one of the truly most heroic and foolhardy expeditions in the American West. It's just amazing. And, of course, they get almost, they get a little more than halfway there. And then lack of supplies and approaching winter turn them back. And Miera is furious. He says, come on, guys, it's only a couple of weeks to Monterey. Let's keep going. Well, if they had, they will have all died like the Donner Party 70 years later. Nobody knew anything about the Sierra Nevada.
Right, right. Yeah, it's an amazing story in and of itself, the whole Dominguez Escalante expedition. You're tuned in to the Monday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder. I'm talking this morning with John Kessel. He's on the phone this morning with us. He's the author of the book Miera y Pacheco, a Renaissance Spaniard in 18th Century New Mexico. Also joining me in the studio is Dale Davidson. He's a board member at the Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. They're going to be sponsoring a presentation by John on Saturday, April 5th, from 3 to 6 p.m. at the Crow Canyon Archaeological Center here in Cortez. Dale, I want to turn to you now. Tell me why a story like this resonates with the folks at Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance and why you're making this part of your first birthday celebration.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thank you, John, very much for being part of all this with us. In our mind, this story about the Dominguez and Escalante expedition and Miera's maps that are associated with it are so entwined with our interests at the in the National Monument, the Canyon of the Ancients National Monument, and the Anasazi Heritage Center, because literally this party traveled. Just if you stand at the top of the hill at the Heritage Center and look into the Dolores River Valley, you're looking at part of their route. So they're, it's just absolutely and in no way divided from what our interests are. It's just all part of it's all part of who we are and what we do.
And as a as an archaeologist and as a student of history of this area, what is it that maybe is the most fascinating part of this story for you? Or what's something that really just kind of like springs to life for you out of this story?
Oh, I think that John hasn't mentioned it this morning, but later in time, Miera Pacheco's maps, which are by then back in Mexico City, are accessed by the great explorer and scientist Humboldt. Hmm. And when he draws his great maps of his journeys, he includes Miera Pacheco, so that information gets into the mainstream of what the world knows about North America very quickly, and it wouldn't have been available if Miera Pacheco hadn't made those maps.
That's so true, and you know that influence of Miera's map endures until John Charles Fremont's map of the Great Basin, published in 1845. And you know, the Fremont party camped just about on the same spot on the shores of Utah Lake, which I want renamed Lake Miera. Anyway, 68 years after Miera and the friars camped on the shores of that lake, why Fremont did. And he knew that there weren't a bunch of rivers flowing to the Pacific out of the Great Basin.
Yeah, a lot of great stories. It's we could spend a lot of time. We are almost out of time here, Dale. I wanted to give you just a quick chance to talk about the first. Well, first of all, congratulations.
Well, yes, that's right.
Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance is turning 1 year old. Can you tell us a little bit about the celebration that will be happening
April 5th? Sure, Tom. Thank you very much. This is arranged as a day to celebrate that first year. We'll include in addition to the highlight of the day, which is John's presentation, a silent auction, and we have a number of donations to that. We're want to thank very much all the people who've done that. And then we'll follow John's presentation with a reception, and we've got to thank people like Guy Drew and others around the community for what they've contributed to that as well. So we would like to ask anybody who is planning on coming, just so that we can plan for some numbers and we can tell Crow Canyon what to expect. We would like to have RSVPs to our executive director, who's Diane McBride, at 882-5862, or just into our website at swcocanyons.org. So southwestcoloradocanyons.org.
All right.
So we're quite excited for the day, and we're looking forward very much to seeing John in person.
All right. Fantastic. Well, thank you both for being with me here this morning. John, it sounds like you've got a lot of great stories to tell about your research, and thanks for joining us this morning.
My pleasure. Thank you,
okay.
Tom.
Thank you very much, John.
And again, that's John Kessel, author of the book Miera y Pacheco, A Renaissance Spaniard in 18th Century New Mexico. He'll be giving a presentation about his book and the life of Miera y Pacheco on Saturday, April 5th from 3 to 6 p.m. at Crow Canyon Archaeological Center in Cortez as part of the first birthday celebration for Southwest Colorado Canyons Alliance. You've been listening to the Monday Morning Zine. Today's program was produced by Mark Dugan and myself, Tom Yoder, and our theme music was written and performed by Brett Pasia.